Father God, as we open your word this morning, as we prepare to hear your very word, as you inspired Paul and John to write for us, that we might hear this message this morning, not only for us, but through the centuries, that many could hear what you would have to say. As new and as fresh and as vital today, as important to our lives today as ever. So Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to guide us and to teach us this morning. And Lord, as always, I thank you that we have so readily accessible your written word. We pray for those who do not and who desire it. And we pray for those this morning who are lifting it up and teaching what it says around this community, around this county, those who are lifting up your word. Teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, when you decided to come today, this is a good day to come to church, because we're going to answer an important question today. A question that has stumped philosophers and gurus and comic strip writers for years and years and years. And you're going to get the answer today. That question is sometimes put in different forms. What is the meaning of life? Or what is my purpose? Or what am I here for? Well, you're going to get the answer to that question today. You see, birds were made to fly. Fish were made to swim. My dog was made to bark at squirrels. But you and I were made with a specific purpose of glorifying God. That is the purpose for which people were made. In the beginning, that is the reason God made us, so that we could glorify Him. The chief problem with sin in the world is that sin diminishes our view of the glory of God. Which is why Paul wrote in Romans, right? For all have sinned and come short of what? The glory of God, right? We have fallen short. When we're in sin, we have fallen short of our purpose. And our purpose is to glorify God. In the mid-1600s, a group of people who were responsible for the reform of the church came together in Scotland and wrote something called the Westminster Shorter Catechism. They also had a longer catechism. The Shorter Catechism is 107 questions and answers meant to teach lay people about God and the Bible and about purpose of living. And the number one, the very first thing listed, says the chief purpose of man. It actually says the chief end of man. But think 1640s now. The chief end of man, which means the chief purpose, the chief goal, our whole reason for being, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That is the reason we were made. Now, there are other things that we do and other things that God calls us to do, but the chief thing, the main thing, is to glorify God. And what I love about this Westminster Catechism is that in each point that it makes, each question that it answers, it follows with Scripture. They didn't just make it up. It isn't just things that they thought ought to be said. They backed it up with Scripture. So those that are listed in your bulletin this morning are the things that we're going to look at. And I'm going to start with 1 Corinthians 10:31. And in this, Paul has been writing to the Corinthians about many things, about the freedom of being a believer. He's addressing food and if you're offered certain foods and how you should deal with that. But it comes down to this. Not really about food. Whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. whatever you do. See, the point really isn't about what foods they were to eat or not eat. It's whatever they do to be done to the glory of God. And like I said to the kids, it's not that we add to God's glory. God is glory. But it's what we reveal to others in our own actions, or what we cover, what we don't allow to be seen, this glory of God, by the way we act, by the way we treat others, by the things that we do, whatever we do, it's a good filter for the things that we're going to do or not do. Would this thing glorify God? Would this thing reveal to others the glory of God? Would they see in my work, in my living, in my actions, in how I am at the store? Does it honor God? Does it glorify Him? Do people look and see that there is something unusual, something better than what they see in the headlines? You know, Dottie Kelly came up before the service and she was talking about her recent bout with dealing with her leg being in a cast at one point and up on a roller thing for a while, and how many people offered assistance. There's good people in the world, and good exists in the world because there is a God. And we choose in what we do to glorify God. And our chief purpose is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And so we look in the things that we do at work, the choices we make, the way we treat people, when we're kind, when others are not, when we're angry in a righteous way, when we live like Jesus did, when we respond to people like Jesus responded to people. We made the choices that Jesus made. It's not necessarily an easy life, but it is that life for which we were created. It is our chief end. It is our main purpose. It is our reason for existence. It's why we live. It's to glorify God. And everything sinful is to separate people's view from the glory of God. It's to make them look and see something else. That's what sin does. That's why sin was the problem in Genesis, and sin was the problem with David, and sin was the problem that caused the flood, and sin met its match in Jesus. No, it didn't meet its match. It lost that match. And we need to live lives like Jesus did in order that we might live the lives that we were made to live. We have a purpose, a specific purpose, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And over in Philippians 4, verse 4, I love this passage. I talk about this passage a lot. As I talk to people a lot about anxiety in their lives, about trouble that they're having, and this passage is the one that brings us to the peace of God, which passes all understanding. But it has a beginning, and I referred to this as a recipe. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And when that's done, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I love that. Will guard your heart, will guard everything that you love, will guard your mind, everything that you think about. Where does anxiety enter? About the people we love, about all those things that get caught in our minds that we start to think about. But if we'll do these things, rejoice. And that's the verse I want to focus on, is verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. To rejoice, or to joy, or to have joy, or enjoy the Lord forever starts here. It'll get better. It'll get easier, but it starts here. To rejoice in the Lord always. You know, so that sounds easy. But what about this? What about my bills? What about my job? What about my family? Notice what the verse says. It doesn't say, enjoy everything that goes on. It says, rejoice in the Lord. Paul says to be content in all circumstances, but we don't have to enjoy all circumstances. We rejoice in the Lord, because in the midst of those circumstances, your only hope and your only help comes from God. So in the midst of that problem that you're having, when there doesn't seem to be a way out, you look up and you see Jesus. Your only help. And you rejoice that in the midst of that turmoil, Jesus is there with you. This is what Stephen saw when he was being stoned to death. And as brutal of a passage as that is in the book of Acts, I love that passage, because while he was being stoned to death, brutally, slowly, painfully, he looked up and he said, behold, I see the Son standing at the right hand of God. In the midst of being stoned to death, he looked up and he saw Jesus, who took him out of that. His body was left laying there beneath that rubble, but Stephen was present with Christ in the blink of an eye. In the midst of every circumstance, whether it's good or bad or indifferent, we can look up and see Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord, who says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, who says, take my burden, for it is light. Come all who are weary and heavy laden, come to me. Jesus says, come. No matter what's going on in your life, He's not leaving. He's not walking away from you. He is with you. And so we glorify God in everything we do, even if it's hard. We rejoice in the Lord in all of our circumstances, even if they're hard. This can be a hard life. Jesus glorified God in everything that He did. And He died in His early 30s, a brutal death. But He glorified God even in His death. This is our purpose. This is the reason that we were created. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And do you know what's coming? It's the third verse we're going to look at. It's in Revelation 21. This is what John got to see. And he wrote it down so we could get a picture of it too. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the new Jerusalem coming down as a bride beautifully prepared for her husband. And heard a voice from the throne saying that God will come and dwell with man. And He themselves will be their God. And there will be no more death. There will be no more tears. There will be no more mourning, for the old order of things has passed away. And behold, He who was on the throne said, I make all things new. This is what's coming for us, church. This is what is ahead of us in our lives. For those of us who have accepted Jesus, we are coming to that day when glorifying God and enjoying Him will be everything that we do without hindrance. There will be no temptation or sadness to drag us away from that. You know, someone close to me had a sad thing happen in their lives this week, and I got to thinking about that. If you just look at that one element, sadness being gone, just for a moment, let's not think about the presence of God and the light of the Lamb and the new city and all that. Let's just think for a moment just about never being sad again. Does that sound good to anyone? Never being sad again about anything. Sadness will not exist. Death will not exist. With death gone, there'll be no reason to mourn. The victory that Jesus won on the cross will peel everything that causes us any kind of pain out of our lives. It will not exist anymore. It simply will not exist. Nothing to cause pain, nothing to cause sorrow, nothing to take away one that we love. No sickness. Nothing but the glory of God. And when we are glorifying God in that moment, it'll just be His glory reflecting off of us as we stand in His presence or as we fall to our faces in His presence. You know, when Jesus was born, the angels appeared to the shepherds. They got a glimpse of the glory as the angels appeared, and it said, "The glory of the Lord shone round about the shepherds." You see, sin had blocked people's view of God's glory for a long time. And a little ways away, in a little feeding trough, there was a little baby who was going to fix all that. And the glory couldn't be restrained. So the angels went to these shepherds, this unlikely group, and the glory of God, whatever that is, whatever that looks like, the glory of God, that used to come down to the mercy seat in the temple, that which we will see in heaven one day, that in that moment around those poor, outcast, bottom rung of society's ladder shepherds. Because the glory of God is for everybody. It's for everyone. It is the chief end of man. And again, that word end, in the time it was written, talked about purpose and goal and that kind of thing, but it is our end as well. It is how we will end up. All those who accept and follow Jesus Christ will end up in His glory. No longer worried about showing someone His glory or not acting right. That is all gone. As the voice from the throne says, "Behold, I make all things new." Whatever hurts, whatever hurt you, whatever worries you, whatever gives you that knot in your stomach, whatever keeps you awake at night, there's an answer for that. His name is Jesus, who will come. And He may not change the circumstance. He may not. But He will walk with you through it, leading you to your chief end. Leading you to your purpose. Glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Amen.